guitar, but he played his new guitar. And he talked about resurrection, so you'll get it again. Different version, but resurrection. So we're in John chapter 11, so you may want to turn there and follow along with me as we go through John 11. We see in John 11 that Jesus taught and demonstrated resurrection. I did a word search on the word resurrection, and it's not mentioned in the Old Testament. And I thought, that's surprising. But it isn't. You won't find the word resurrection, not in the New King James, in the Old Testament. But we're introduced in John 11 to a family of two sisters and a brother. And they are a family that's of considerable wealth. And this family have probably inherited the home that they have there in Bethany. Two sisters, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and they showed Jesus and his disciples a lot of hospitality. But Lazarus has become sick. And he will be the man that we talk about in verse 1. So let's read John 11, 1 through 5. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We discovered that this is the Mary who anointed Jesus' feet with oil and wiped his feet then with her hair. It is Lazarus, her brother, who is sick, very sick. These sisters are close, intimate friends with Jesus. And they send word to Jesus, knowing exactly where Jesus was. Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. No other message. Lazarus is sick. And that's enough said, enough communicated there by Mary and Martha. Jesus, Lazarus is sick. It's a plea from Mary and Martha. And they're saying, please come and heal Lazarus who is sick. Notice how Jesus puts all things in the right perspective. And he tells the disciples, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. I wish I could say that every time I get the flu or a cold or something, that this sickness is for the glory of God. But I usually snivel and take drugs. But anyway, the Son of God is going to be glorified through Lazarus' sickness and death. Verse 5, we hear that Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. The word used for love there is not agape, but phileo. Jesus loved this family as he loved his own personal brothers and sisters. But Jesus wants this family to learn resurrection. And he wants them to learn it in an up-close and personal way. The same way any person who receives salvation must also truly believe that Jesus is risen from the grave and he is alive. That is a requirement of belief in Jesus to become saved. Well, let's look now at verses 6 through 10. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in that place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick, and he purposely delays his return to Judea 2 more days. Verse 7, then the disciples tell Jesus, or Jesus tells the disciples, excuse me, "Let us go up to Judea again." And Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then the disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. This is a good sign that he sleeps." However, Jesus spoke of the death, Lazarus' death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go up to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." This is Thomas. Verse 11, Jesus tells the disciples, Lazarus sleeps. But he says, "I'm going there to wake him up." This is good news to the disciples. If Lazarus sleeps, he's taking rest, he's getting better. But then Jesus plainly tells the disciples, "Lazarus is dead." Verse 15, "And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe." That had to puzzle the disciples. For Jesus knows that his disciples also need to believe that he is the resurrection. They're his followers, but they're in a transition period, trying to make him into Messiah, trying to make him into God. And that takes some doing. That takes some overcoming of the flesh. And then he says, "Nevertheless, let us go up to Judea." Then Thomas speaks up, and he said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go up that we may die with him." Thomas, in his words, reveals the fear that the disciples have. They're afraid to go up there. If the Jews wanted to stone Jesus, and we are Jesus' disciples, guess what awaits us? They are afraid of being stoned. Now, Thomas shows great courage in his statement, in his belief in Jesus. He's willing to die for Jesus. And sometimes, because Thomas had his moments of doubt, we don't give Thomas the credit that we should. But Thomas there is willing to go and die with Jesus. Thomas has not been in the upper room after Jesus' resurrection, where the disciples happened to be gathered there in fear, and Thomas didn't hear the words of Jesus. And he didn't get to see Jesus or hear him, so he had his doubting moments. But now let's look at verses 17 through 27. "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection, I got it, at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he says to Martha, do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the word that Jesus is coming near to their home, and she goes to meet Jesus. Mary stays there in a house, and Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. So she has an ample amount of faith that Jesus is able to heal. But I think Martha's words perhaps condemn her. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. I have faith, but I don't know if I have resurrection faith. Martha's words show that she has confusion about the resurrection. Especially when Jesus tells her, your brother will rise again. Martha, she's trying to put her belief system into reality. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Then Jesus opens her understanding. And he tells her, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You're on the spot there, Martha. Do you believe this? But what a question by Jesus. Do you and I believe this? It's a good question. Martha responded, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God who has come into the world. And having made this confession of faith to her Lord, Martha goes her way and secretly calls Mary and says, the teacher has come and he's calling for you, Mary. So we pick it up again in verse 28. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into this town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Verbatim of Martha's word. Mary arises and goes to Jesus. And she repeats the very words Martha has spoken. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Obviously, Mary and Martha have had conversation. Where is Jesus and why has he not come to us? They're filled with the same despair of emotions. Lazarus would be alive if you, Jesus, would have been here. And then we pick up in verse 33 and 30 through 37. And in these verses, we see Jesus and his own personal emotions. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Then the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved Lazarus." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" They're tying it totally to life. If Jesus would have been there, Lazarus would not be dead, and Jesus could have healed him if Jesus would have got here in time. But Jesus sees the weeping, not only from Mary and Martha, but all the Jewish crowd that is there. And Jesus groaned in the spirit and was troubled. We're told that our Lord Jesus is acquainted with our griefs. And we see here a full demonstration about how the death of Lazarus has caused Jesus to groan and to weep. Verse 34, Jesus groans and he is troubled. And he asks, "Where have you laid him?" And they take Jesus to the tomb of Lazarus, and Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, but the shortest verse captures the emotions of Jesus, for he weeps. There's a lot of speculation about Jesus weeping. Why does he weep if he knows he will call Lazarus from the grave? Why is Jesus weeping? I believe Jesus is weeping for mankind there. He sees the sorrow that death brings. Death comes because man has sinned. And Jesus sees this very, very vividly right before his eyes. But Jesus will shortly go to the cross. And the death, his death, he will rectify sin's penalty of death. Jesus sees his own creation and the sorrow that sin and death bring to mankind, the top of his creation. We even see the fellow Jews that are there saying, "See how Jesus loved Lazarus, for he weeps for him." And he weeps for Mary and Martha and their sadness. Now, Jesus, he is not there when Lazarus dies. But he said, "His death must glorify the Father and myself." He said that outright, at the very start of this. "This death is for the glory of God and myself." Through death and resurrection of Lazarus, we see God is glorified. Resurrection is Jesus' answer to sin and death. For the people, the Jews there, begin to say, "Could not this man open the eyes of the blind? Could he not also have kept this man from dying?" To them, the only hope that Lazarus would still be alive when Jesus came. But then we pick up verse 38 through 44. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Verse 38 there, Jesus again groans within himself. Have you ever been filled with such emotions that words do not suffice and all you can do is groan? Jesus groans and he tells those that are present, take away the stone. Martha replies, Lord, by this time there is a stench. For Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Now, in the Jewish culture, 3 days in the grave, you had to be there 3 days before you were officially declared dead. Lazarus, 4 days in the grave, he is fully dead. He's stinking, he's decaying. And Martha tells Jesus this. But Jesus tells Martha, did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? I told you, Martha. They roll away the stone, and Jesus prays, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and because the people who stand by is the reason I spoke these words aloud. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and I thought about yelling this at you, but I won't. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes hopping out. He's bound head to toe. And Jesus commands him, loose him. Let him go. And then verse 45, one last verse. Then many of the Jews had come to Mary and seen these things Jesus did, believed in him. Many believed after seeing resurrection take place right before their eyes. We live in a day and a time when our minds have to grasp many things, or we just simply do not believe. Do not allow this Resurrection Sunday to pass with unbelief in your heart. Don't let it creep in. Believing and not believing is an act of my will. It is not an act of facts. That's why a child can believe and be saved. We don't have to put everything together to believe, except have a believing heart. And Jesus, he sparked belief in the hearts of those that were gathered at the grave of Lazarus. For Jesus is the resurrection and life. Do you believe this? For he is risen.
He's risen indeed.
There you go. I was counting on that. So let me get you to stand and we'll close in prayer. Father God, we give you thanks for having power over death. And demonstrating that by raising Jesus from the dead. And Jesus, we thank you for raising Lazarus from the dead and giving us evidence of resurrection. And so let our hearts be open to you. Let us be believing and no longer unbelieving. Lord, our finite minds many times require that we see evidence before we believe. But Lord, replace that desire with the truth of yourself and let us have believing hearts. Let our faith in you, let our belief in you please you, Lord. We want to be found as though who believe your word and apply it to their lives. So we thank you. We thank you that we can celebrate this Easter morning with the truth that you rose from the dead. You came to life again to give us salvation, Lord. You came because you have a good plan for us. And Lord, thank you for sparking each and every heart with that hope of resurrection and belief in you. Thank you, Lord. We have hope that the world does not have, and we give you thanks for it. So, Lord, fill our days with that hope that you will return, you will come back, you will take us to be with you, and that you are alive and well and at the Father's right hand, making intercession for us. So we give you thanks. Lord, we would pray, if there's any here that do not know you, that they would come to know you. Lord, we pray that our friends, family, whoever, and we all know many who are not saved, would come to a belief in you, that they would enjoy resurrection faith. Thank you, Lord, that you brought it about in our hearts and lives, and now we ask you to bring it about in hearts and lives of those around us. Convince, convict, Lord, do your thing, and all of our friends and neighbors and relatives who do not know you, give them, Lord, a believing heart. And Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for doing that for us, for you have caused us to believe in the resurrection, and we have life eternal because of it. So we thank you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.